What kind of residence would you build for God? What kind of a house would you think is a suitable place for God to live in? In the first reading, we heard how King David wanted to build a magnificent palace, a temple to be God's house, where he could put the Ark of the Covenant, with the tables of, where the tables of the law were kept. The Ark that had traveled through the desert with the people, a constant reminder of God's presence and love. The Ark that David had brought into Jerusalem, dancing for joy as he led it into the holy city. But God told David through the prophet Nathan that he did not want a fancy palace. Indeed, he seems to imply that David was a bit presumptuous in thinking he could build a house that would be fitting for Almighty God. Instead, God says, "I will give you a house, a royal dynasty, a kingdom that will last forever." As it happened, of course, David's son Solomon was the one who actually did build a temple in Jerusalem. Now, if we fast forward 700 or 800 years, perhaps, to our gospel story today, we see a promise coming to pass in a way that neither David nor anyone else had imagined, even in their wildest dreams. The angel said to Mary, "Your child will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule over the house of Jacob, and his reign will be without end." And when Mary said yes to God's request, the Son of the Most High, who refused to be housed in a magnificent edifice built by David, made his home in the womb of a lowly, unknown maiden who lived in a backwater town in an obscure province at the edge of the Roman Empire. I suppose that equally improbable things have been imagined by writers of fantasy and science fiction, but only a God such as our God could have made it happen. As we reflect on such a wonder, how do we react? The skeptics will say, "Oh, it's a wonderful story, but of course it didn't really happen." Those of us who believe that the angel's words are true, for God all things are possible, we know that it did happen. And even if sometimes some of us have our moments of doubt about it all, I think even those who doubt sometimes really want it to be true. So what is our reaction? Well, in the first place, of course, wonder and awe before so beautiful a mystery. Before a God like our God, who can not only make the impossible possible, but who can actually make it happen. But we can't stop there. Wonder and awe have to give way to something else, the way they did for Mary. If you read what follows this passage in Luke's Gospel, you'll see that once the angel left her, Mary moved into action. Her elderly cousin Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, another marvelous mystery, and she needed help. So Mary immediately set out for the hill country to be with her in her time of need. And when Elizabeth greets her and recognizes that the baby she is carrying is her very own Lord, and when the baby that Elizabeth carries leaps for joy in the presence of his own Lord, Mary sings her Magnificat, a wondrous poem that celebrates the fidelity of God to God's promises, the history of her own people, and proclaims that the justice of God is being fulfilled in her very own person. "The Lord, who is mighty, has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Well, you know, dear friends, we still build beautiful churches and temples adorned with gold and marble to house our God. But this same great good God who preferred the virgin's womb to a magnificent palace is still eager to be housed in hearts, our hearts, yours and mind. Throughout this Advent season, we've been reminding ourselves that our God did not just come once, 2,000 years or so ago, and though we know he will come again at the end of time, just as marvelously he comes every day in so many ways and asks us to give him shelter. We can think of this as we remember that beginning this evening and for the next 2 weeks, we will be giving shelter, literally, to homeless people in our parish hall. As we look upon them as they come to our place for shelter and for help, we can say, Jesus is coming too. It's the Lord. This is one of the ways that he comes daily into our lives. How do we react? Well, in wonder and awe, of course, with songs and hymns of praise. But beyond that, like Mary, we too should move into action, perhaps. Our response cannot rest with a passive adoration, but must carry us figuratively to the hill country to help those in need. Mary's response was what she knew God wanted her to do. I like to think that as she walked those miles, smiling to herself at the mystery hidden within her, Jesus, whom she was carrying, was receiving his first lessons in what his own life was to be all about. But as followers of Christ today, this is still what our lives are all about. One of our favorite Christmas hymns begs Jesus to be born in us today. So indeed, Lord Jesus, come, be born in us today.